Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Pani, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Brother Zama.
Are you
good
well?
Good afternoon to the listeners who are with us at this time.
Lovely. Are you well, Mfundis?
I'm very well, thank you, sir. And how are you?
No, I can't complain, man. I'm good. Thank you so much for taking our call. We haven't spoken this year, so I hope that the year has been good to you so far.
God has been good.
Lovely.
God has been good, yeah. So I'm okay.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. You know, as a way of background, you know, having a family in a good Bible-teaching local church is crucial to a Christian marriage and parenting. But it is unlikely that church attendance alone will impress your children and family members with greatness and the glory of God, such that they will want to pursue Him once they leave home. So today, I want to discuss the value of regular family worship and actually check if family worship among Christians, is it still a thing? Because, you know, these days people are saying not everybody must pursue their time with God. And so people are left to go to their rooms and encouraged to pray there. So, yeah. Pastor, so why does a family need to worship God together as a unit? What is the goal of family worship?
I agree with you. This is an important topic that needs, you know, attention. Quite a number of reasons come to mind. One, we might be individuals having, you know, individualized relationship with God. That's fine, that's good, that's biblical. But what we find in Scripture also is that there is an importance. The Bible seems to place a lot of value. It places value in community, coming together, getting together. That's why we come together every week for worship. A family can also be thought of as some kind of a mini church. So the value that the church has that gathers every week. The same value is placed on family. It's a smaller group, but the idea is community, where you express your faith, where each member of the family have an opportunity to come together and express, you know, their faith, their spirituality, together. So, family worship has a way of bringing a family together. Individuals, they come out of their rooms, just like in church, we come from different homes and we go meet at a central area.
Yeah.
So we come out of our rooms, we come and meet at a certain designated, you know, place in the home, in the house, and we come together. So it brings us together. So these individual Christians come together as a unit, and we express our faith to one another, but we also express our worship to God as a family unit. That's the first thing. I think another value of family worship is that maybe two or three more reasons. I think one, when we worship together as a family, because of being familiar to one another, one is able to express, you know, their thoughts, their feelings, their questions to one another in a manner that is free. You know, you know these people, you live with them every day, and whatever spiritual struggles that you have, you are able to express them, and you get support, you get ideas, you get even answers to some of the questions that you might be having. There is that value as well.
Yeah. Now, if everyone is engaging in personal Bible study and also weekly church attendance as family, is there need or space even to actually meet as family? I understand you saying it's important. People may not really have the time even.
We need to make time because it is important. After a long day of work, of school, or doing whatever, It's important. We encourage individuals to have their own personal devotion, worship, and walk with God. That's important. So in a family of five people must have those personal devotions in the morning, during the day, whenever. But there is also value in coming together, after having experienced God differently during the week, and we come together, we reflect on that. After having gone through different challenges during the day, not during the week, but during the day, we come together, we support each other, we reflect on that, we teach each other, we learn from each other, and we approach God as a unit. There's a lot of value. We are busy, there's lots to do, but if we make time, there is a lot that we can benefit, from coming together as a family to worship. Sometimes we are busy about things that are not really that important, and I'm not saying that they should be done away with, because sometimes people can be busy with entertainment, they can be busy, with, whatever. Yes, some of those things may be important, but I think as a family we must put God first, and place a lot of value in that time where we come together just to worship God together as a unit.
So, how then, how can we say is how often rather is absolutely essential? So, we want to just know, fine. So, how often then would we say this is absolutely essential, and how often is sufficient?
I think coming together daily, minimum, I think that's important. That's important. But if it's not possible, if it's not possible for whatever reasons, maybe this member of this family, they return home late, and another one comes home at a particular time, and it's impossible for us to find common ground or a time that suits everybody. That can be a reality for some families, but I think somehow we need to find time to come together at least once a day as family members. But as we do that, also let's have those individual time for us to have, worship, devotion, and some interaction with God, in our day, in our day-to-day, as we go about in our day-to-day lives.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, would you please, if it's possible, share some ideas, that families could implement in order to make it more engaging, especially for the children? I'm sure, families can actually benefit from that.
I think it's important when it is structured, and by structured I mean, if we know that every day at 7 p.m. we come together, so everyone knows, the children know, we all look forward to the, we have an appointment. It's our daily appointment with each other and with God. So when there is a structure, and you know that you are somewhere, but you want to hurry because there's this appointment that you have. Structured also mean that how we go about, if there's a Bible reading that happens, it is structured, it is planned. You can say that our focus for this month can be a certain chapter or a certain portion of scripture. It can even be a certain topic, so when there is a structure, children work well in a structured environment. That's the first thing. I think another important thing, for us in making it meaningful for children, is that we need to make our worship to be child friendly. In other words, be mindful of the different age groups of the family and try to accommodate everyone. The language that is used, the terminology that is used, The Bible versions that are used must also consider that, you know, because we can teach it at a very high level as if we are all theologians in the family. Some might be, you know, still needing milk. Others might be, you know, needing solid food. So we need to be very mindful of that. You know, children, know your children, know where they are, and be and plan the worship service in the house to be, you know, consistent with that. To be child friendly, also, you know, be mindful that children have a very limited concentration span. So the longer it is, some will start dozing, especially if it happens at night. Before you know it, you have half of the family members still, you know, concentrating. Make it interactive. Make it very creative. You know, kids, you know, want that interaction. You know, they respond well to some that is creative with pictures, with, you know, with activity, with them doing something. And they're able to participate. And that's what, you know, child friendliness or child friendly worship is about. Perhaps what is also important is if your family members have, you know, different groups. Maybe I have a 12 year old, I have a 15 year old and a 23 year old. Maybe you may want to accommodate everyone every day. If it's not possible, you can say on this particular day, the focus is on this person, on this age group. And you tailor make the worship service with this particular person or age groups in mind. And tomorrow you move to someone else, to another different groups. And when the week is concluded, everyone was accommodated, everyone was blessed, everyone was reached. I think also lastly, I'll allow a space for children to ask questions. And that's very, very important. Let's not assume that they understand, you know. Let's ask them, do you understand? And if you don't understand, let them ask questions. In other words, worship service must be an opportunity for everyone to learn, especially the children. Let them learn from us as adults. You know, let's also have answers and be able to respond to their questions.
And I think that we've got to be able to pay attention to that as parents, that we've got to be ready with answers. But now some parents would want to answer, though, those questions, that just to piggyback on that. Even though they don't know the answer, will they lose credibility if they say, my child, listen, I don't know the answer but to this one, but let me go and check it out? Or should I just try and navigate a way out of the question and give some kind of an answer?
It is better to delay giving a right answer than to giving a wrong answer immediately. In other words, it is better to say, can I spend more time just to research more on what you have asked, and let me respond tomorrow? That is much better than giving an answer that is not accurate right now, because that's what the child will run with. I think we need to be honest with our children that we don't always have all the answers. We don't know it all. There are things that even us, however matured, however experienced, however old we are, that we need to just get more facts so that you present something that will be meaningful, yeah, and all facts are accurate and the child will benefit.
A beautiful one. Pastor, before I let you go then, but what is the one word that you would want to, you know, impress, a statement or a lesson that you want to leave with the listeners? We may forget other things, but what is it that we should definitely, definitely never forget?
We might be relating to God as individuals, but there is value in community And as a family, we are a community of believers. Yes, we have individual relationships with God, but when we come together as a unit, we pray together, we learn from each other, we support from each other, we hear each other out, and we are able to express ourselves to each other as we express ourselves to God.
Beautiful stuff. Well, Pastor, I must thank you so much for coming through and talking to us this afternoon. Blessings to you and have a fantastic evening.
Thank you. Blessings to you, Zam, and blessings to the rest of the listeners.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.